First of all, I want to tell you about something that happened on Wednesday here, Coffee Bar. Ken, I'll be quick, I'll be brief on this. Ken's been thinking recently-ish, Ken McDermott, you all know him, Coffee Bar person. He's been thinking about people coming in and what can we do a little bit different. So he had a thought of toast. No, it's not rocket science, is it? Shall we make toast on a Wednesday? So he has a chat with Alan, and they're a bit, I don't know. Anyway, so Ken says, well, tell you what, but leave it to consensus. I'll ask around and we'll see what people say about whether we do toast on a Wednesday or not. So anyway, comes to open up time, 10 o'clock. Ken opens the doors, and the 8 years he's done Coffee Bar. This has never happened before. There's a lady on the step. Can you use this? And it was a loaf. Now, come on. It's a loaf of bread. Can you use this? So Ken says, yes. But part of Alan's hesitation, and rightly so, environmental health. I mean, all the rats at the back know all about environmental health. Well, you know, rightly so, he's a bit concerned. And he's saying, well, I don't know about environmental health, and, you know, have we got to get this sorted first? Anyway, so that's why Ken's thinking, OK, we'll delay it, but then this loaf appears. Later on in the morning, this lady comes in, quite official looking, with a briefcase. So Ken thinks, OK, come in, business meeting somewhere, tea or coffee. Can I help you? Like a tea or a coffee? I'm from the environmental health. Come to inspect your premises. Anyway, Ken showed her exactly what she needed to see, all the temperatures written down. Thank you. And she was absolutely delighted. And you know, while Coffee Bar was going on, somebody came in to say that a regular member of Coffee Bar had died. And you know, that isn't that the beauty of the Coffee Bar ministry, that they know where to go and where to seek help and where to pass on, albeit sad news. But those two things happening, if God is not in that place, then I don't know what. But the loaf of bread, environmental health, on the same morning. Anyway, if you want toast, come to a coffee bar on a Wednesday. There'll be toast served. It's only for Wednesdays for now, so watch this space. But isn't that fabulous how God works? Just amazing. Anyway, I'll get on to James. James's first letter, to the first century Christian, Jewish Christians living in the Gentile communities. So this letter is written to those outside Palestine's, to Christians everywhere. And it's a letter, as we heard last week from Ian and weeks previous, this is full of practical advice on how to live the Christian life. We heard last week from Ian, and I for one was challenged about the tongue and how it is so important to control your speech. How this small part of the body, which we control, can do so much harm, but at the same time is also capable of so much good, of so much blessing. So this theme continues today with James. Practical advice on living the Christian life. And as Andrew touched on before, today's reading is James distinguishing between two kinds of wisdom. Earthly wisdom, heavenly wisdom, that of God. And today's reading begins with a question, who is wise and understanding among you? Maybe you should ask that now. Who is wise and understanding amongst us? You're not supposed to laugh. And there's a reason why James is asking, because he's saying that those who are truly wise will show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from true wisdom. So he's asking this question because he's saying, so if you regard yourselves as wise and with understanding, do you know you're going to be able to see that by how you live your life? Okay, so no pressure. So what about the other kind of wisdom that James talks about? He doesn't waste time, James. He gets straight into it. He says, if your heart isn't right, then this wisdom, and it's still wisdom, because James doesn't deny it's wisdom, it's It's not true wisdom. It's of the earth. So the question then for us today, how will we know what true wisdom looks like? That from heaven. So first of all, we'll look at the other wisdom, that which isn't from. The Jewish leaders, the greatest Jewish leaders, were aware that they lived with two great temptations: arrogance and bitterness. There was a temptation for them to be arrogant because they were well accustomed to having the stage, of being listened to, of the person who has the voice. Therefore, they'd be heard and their words would be accepted. So this would be a place where that selfish ambition could be fostered and nurtured. So with the stage, with this audience, I've got a voice, you will hear it. Then this song comes to mind. I do hope this works. Technology is something else, isn't it? Okay, just have to wait 1 second while he stops talking and then I'll turn it off. I forgot about his introduction. Okay, we're getting there.
But I did what I've always done, man. Cheer myself up and pick up my guitar and sit down.
So with the stage, it's hard.
Now this is how it feels to be alone at the top of the hill.
To be alone at the top of the hill, it's hard.
Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror.
Okay. That was a great temptation of the Jewish leaders. Hard to be humble because they had a status. But at the same time, it was absolutely vital that they were humble. And then the other temptation, to be bitter. When you're utterly convinced of your own beliefs, then it's hard not to be bitter, to be resentful, to be angry with those of another. Those who don't believe what you believe, it's easy to disregard them, to see them as opponents, as enemies, to be dismissed, rather than friends, to be persuaded by a life of humility. So James, in this letter, is pointing out that this false wisdom, but if you harbour bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Because such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly. James says it as it is. He does this throughout the whole of his letter. And he describes wisdom that exudes self-ambition, arrogance, bitterness, as earthly, as unspiritual, as demonic. He says that this wisdom is of the earth. Its standards are of the earth. The sources of this wisdom are of us, of men. And the success is measured in the world by worldly terms, and it's driven by popular culture. Now, any business, small or large, would fail in their strategic planning if they fail to see, to look at who their competitors are. So it would be a wise move to see who you're up against. Now, I've been quite disturbed recently, and you may already know this, by the fact that one of the chief executive officers of Netflix, his name is Reed Hastings. Now, Netflix, if you don't know, is one of the largest internet companies. And you know, it regards its competitor as the need, the human need, to close your eyes for a third of the day. It regards sleep as its competitor. This basic essential of human life, sleep, is seen as a competitor. And I was left myself asking this question, where is the moral fibre in this? And this is the wisdom that this company, and I'm not just having to go at Netflix, because it will be other companies, but this is an example of earthly wisdom that's taken its wisdom from the sources of the earth. James also describes wisdom as unspiritual. But the Greek words that James uses is related to how an animal would respond to an attack, an instinctual response based on the physiological needs of that animal. So James says it's earthly, It's unspiritual, almost instinctual, and also it's demonic. It's not of God. So James goes on to say that where wisdom is based in envy, in bitterness, in self-ambition, the effect will be disorder. People driven apart. There will be strife in the place of peace. So if that is what this other wisdom looks like, what are the characteristics of true wisdom? And James uses 8 words, but all 8 words hold so much more than the English translation, what we have of the Greek. So first of all, James says that this wisdom is pure. It's free from ulterior motives. Now, even the word pure and then describing it as free from ulterior motives, that's massive. You know, that goes into our even deepest secrets, hidden motives, which we don't know very often about. But this is what heavenly true wisdom looks like. And then James goes on to say, and this wisdom, peace-loving, it's peaceable. So again, the Greek used to refer for this is right relationships between people, between man and man, and with God. So that which unites and does not force apart, along with peace-loving, he said, it's considerate. Again, so much more than just being kind or thinking about the other or paying attention. But rather, this wisdom knows when it would be wrong to apply the strict letter of the law. Who knows how to forgive when both law and society says it's right to condemn. That there are greater things and rules and regulations. And isn't this how Jesus lived his life? That wisdom is considerate, goes on to say, submissive, ready to do the will of God, ready to listen. And in relation to that last point, ready to listen and knowing when it's wise to yield, almost to say, down boy. Wisdom that comes from heaven is full of mercy and good fruit. Again, the word used, it's not just mercy for those who are in trouble, but taking it that step further. Mercy for those who are in trouble, and the trouble is of their own making. Again, isn't this how Jesus lived? With the mercy Jesus displayed to the woman caught in adultery, when the letter of the law said she must be condemned. The good fruit of that challenge is when Jesus says, if you are without sin, then throw the first stone. Wisdom was shown because who could condemn when none were free from sin? Another word that James uses is impartial. Wisdom that comes from heaven is impartial. It's not wavering. It knows its own mind, the route it should take, and abide by it. And the last word he uses is sincere. It doesn't deal in deception. I've said this before, it's a bit like Ronseal, what it says on the can, it does so from the pot. It says what it says it's going to do. So James gives this very clear teaching, this very clear practical instruction on the 2 types of wisdom. And for the true type of wisdom, what is absolutely crucial are the right relationships with God, with each other. And without the bedrock of peaceable living with each other, there will be no morality, no justice, no honesty. James goes on to ask, to say, and all the fighting, what causes the fights and the quarrels among you? You haven't got what you got, therefore you fight. Therefore it becomes a vicious circle, resulting in separation from God. James doesn't hold back. He says it as it is. You desire what you don't have, therefore you kill. You want what you haven't got, so you take. When you do ask God, you're not getting it because you're asking with the wrong motives. This vicious circle keeps continuing. So there are huge demands to live this peaceable life with true wisdom. But James says, choosing friendship with the world, you become the enemy of God. And didn't Jesus make that absolutely clear in Matthew when he says, you can't have 2 masters, you can't serve both. It just doesn't work. So James gives us the challenge, basically by spelling out what wisdom looks like, Which one are you going to choose? Wisdom of the earth or true wisdom, heavenly wisdom? And there are huge demands to live with true wisdom. But we are not on our own with this. Because when God makes great demands, he gives us great grace to fulfill it. In Hebrews 4, it says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firm to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let us therefore approach God with confidence, knowing that we will receive what we need to live these huge demands of what is required in living in true wisdom, living with that true wisdom of God." So thinking about, well, okay, how does that apply for us today? I think really this reading what we've had today is so appropriate that it should be today. Because today, for Holy Trinity, should have looked a little bit different. Transform should have been launching this afternoon here. That's what we planned for. That's what we worked for. That's what we strived for the last 18 months. Spent so many hours talking about it. And yet, for various reasons, it hasn't happened. But Transform has happened this morning. It launched in St. Mark's in Dalham. And I know that some people who are here now, I've been to it this morning. So Caroline, Paul, Carol, Fran, and Anne, Paul, Luke, John, great. So Andrew, there's lots of people. I was going to say John will come up, but we'll be here all day. Talk to them afterwards about how that went this morning. And I think this reading is very appropriate for us today. Because I think, well, I don't know about you, but for one, I feel, a wee bit disappointed that it's not here this afternoon. It's not here this afternoon. I can't hide that. I don't think I should hide that, because it's something what we did work for. But in this, we've got to trust God. And I don't say that lightly. I don't say it glibly. We've got to trust God. And those characteristics of true wisdom. Because to go down the route of the other wisdom, what James is talking about, will put me personally in a place, therefore, as Vicar of Holy Trinity, could potentially put other people in that place of, well, let them get on with it. Just let them do it. Let them do whatever they want, and we'll carry on sailing this ship here. But you know what? I don't think that's what it's about. I really don't. And to seek that true wisdom that will guide us to want to build each other up, to want to bless each other, that wisdom that's sincere, that will look, well, we've been wronged in this. Actually, it's bigger than that. It's so much bigger than that. And those characteristics that James was talking about, full of mercy, of good fruit, sincere, impartial, it's pure. We need to look for those elements in how we move forward now from this place. Because the future for Holy Trinity is not separate. Sorry, I've just been distracted by my daughter walking in. Another transformed person. Thank you, Emma. That's okay, perfect timing. If we don't embrace, transform, and we do take ourselves on a different route, and we don't look to that wisdom from God, that true wisdom that will lead us in this now uncharted path, because even now today it's not how it should have been. But you know what? It's okay. It's more than okay. And we need to seek constantly these answers from God. What's next? Guide us, Lord, on where we should go from here. And our relationships with Paul and Sarah, they're going to be absolutely crucial. absolutely vital that those relationships arise. And isn't that what James is talking about? That bedrock of peaceable living, in that we need to take it from here to what's next. What's next? I don't really know. We've got a missional hub that is going to be launched from here. Paul and Sarah have had a chat with Ken this week, so they've been able to hear. Thankfully, it was on Wednesday. Praise the Lord. Thankfully, it was on Wednesday. So, do you know, it is God's time is absolutely amazing. If there's evidence that you want to see God's hand is working in this place, isn't that an example of what we saw on Wednesday morning with the loaf of bread? So, something so simple God has used. Paul and Sarah got to find out about that on Wednesday. So, true wisdom. Look to these words from James. Look for those qualities, what he says true wisdom will have. And let us all remember, and myself included in this, I'd even put myself like, okay, yeah, I need to be really careful, I don't do this. But look to those things that will unite us, that will build us up, that will build on this peaceable living that's not just kind and considerate, but will look to go that one step further. And I can't say really it's going to be easy, but let's go with the help of God, because where God knows that we need grace to live by, when we ask, he'll pour it on us abundantly. So let us ask for that grace to move forward. Amen.